This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد الله عز وجل commands and directs in his book the believers to contemplate and understand the Quran. So he says subhanahu wa ta'ala أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not have tadabbur of the Quran, an understanding of it, a pondering of what it says? أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا, or is there and are there locks on their hearts? Here in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal makes it clear that He wants from everybody listening to the Quran to have this tadabbur. What does it mean? What is it for? What is that Allah wants from me to do? Because evidently there is someone talking to you and you're supposed to listen and there is a message. And if we understand that this is necessary, we understand at the same time that there are obstacles that stop us from understanding and paying attention to the Quran as Allah refers to them in that ayah as aqfal, locks, as you lock a door that is unwilling to open. A heart at times is so locked that it's unwilling to listen. So there are locks that stop us from understanding and even approaching the Quran. And if you look at our reality and compare it to the reality of the people of the book that Allah described in the Quran, as saying, for instance, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. He says, the example of those who were tasked with carrying, entrusted with the Torah, but they did not carry it, is like the example of a donkey that is carrying books on its back. Meaning that the people of the book that Allah had described then are those who were asked, here is the Torah, the word of Allah Azza wa Jal, study it and understand it and follow it. So they have it in their midst. They may even memorize it, but they don't follow it and it does not affect them. Allah Azza wa Jal says, what is the difference between a person who is like that, who has guidance among them, but they don't follow it, and a donkey that is carrying troves of knowledge on its back, but does not know what's in them? And Allah also says in the Quran, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. He says, and there are two ways to understand and read this ayah. And he says, and among them, among the people of the book, are أميون, illiterate. لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أماني. They don't know about the book except what they guess, what they suppose, what they wish for. The rest of it, they're just guessing and wishing. Meaning that the book is there, but they do not read it. What do they know about the book except we think this and that is in it? We are going to be forgiven. We are special. We're not going to go to hellfire. They know these lies or fabrications, but they don't know the book itself because they don't read it. Ummiyuna, illiterate, either physically illiterate or as if they are illiterate. The other way to understand that ayah is to what, say what? Ummiyuna لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أماني means that no, they read. They read, but the only thing that they know from the book is the reading. Just their recitation. They don't do beyond the reading much with the book. So yes, they read it. Yes, they could be proficient in reading it, but they don't go beyond reading. So, what are some of the things that stop us from understanding the Quran? The obstacles, the locks. To begin with, the first is al-kibr, arrogance. If someone has arrogance in his heart and they feel that they are sufficient with what they know and what they have, they will not turn to the Quran. As Allah says, سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَإِنْ يَرَوْا كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا وَإِنْ يَرَوْا سَبِيلَ الرُّشْدِ لَا يَتَّخِذُوهُ سَبِيلًا وَإِنْ يَرَوْا سَبِيلَ الْغَيِّ يَتَّخِذُوهُ سَبِيلًا Allah says that I will turn away from my ayat those who are arrogant on the face of this earth. And if they see every ayah, they will not believe. Whether it's an ayah from the Quran or it's a miraculous act, says whatever they see, they will not believe. And if they see the path of truth, they will not follow it. And if they see the path of falsehood, they would want to follow it. So anyone who disbelieves in Allah, and if you wonder, how is it that someone could hear the Quran, the message of the Quran, and yet run away from it, or claim that it's false? Understand that if the person did not eradicate arrogance from their heart, they will cease ultimately to see the truth that is in it, and they will run away from it. They had put a seal on their hearts. As Allah says, وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا He says, and if you read the Qur'an, we will put between you and those who do not believe in the hereafter an invisible barrier. That invisible barrier is something that they had put when they have rejected the Qur'an and they run away from it. وَإِذَا ذَكَرْتَ رَبَّكَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَحْدَهُ وَلَّوْ عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِهِمْ نُفُورًا It says, if you mention Allah alone in the Qur'an, meaning when you recite the Qur'an and it doesn't have their idols or what they love or what they associate with Allah, but they only hear about Allah in the Qur'an, the response is to run away from you. So a lock on the heart is arrogance. The second lock on the heart, and that is maybe more relevant to those who believe, is to feel that you do not need the Quran. Or is to live as if you do not need the Quran. If Allah Azza wa Jal had said, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءُ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ We reveal from Qur'an what is shifa, healing and mercy for the believers. If you leave or live your life not being close to the Qur'an, then you're not being close to the shifa and rahma from Allah Azza wa Jal. If you live your life seeking a path of living, a lifestyle, a problem-solving technique that you do not seek from the Qur'an, then you are seeking something that is inferior because it comes from somebody other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And especially living today with all of the troubles that we are facing. To begin with, mental health and psychological problems. We are under the pressure of depression and anxiety and loneliness. Having no direction in life. Being bombarded by messages around us that take us away from Allah Azza wa Jal and from our own sanity. How do you treat all of this? Before saying to yourself, I need to go and take medication and be on antidepressants. Before you say to yourself, I want to talk to a professional. Have you tried the book of Allah Azza wa Jal? If the book of Allah has shifa in it, have you tried Surah Al-Baqarah? Have you tried Al-Fatiha? Have you tried reading day and night? And have you tried asking Allah through the Quran for benefits? and for medication if the Quran has shifa. إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم. This Quran leads and guides to what is best and soundest. Best and soundest in terms of what? In terms of everything. How you live, what manners you should have, how you raise your children, how you behave. So if you're having a marital problem, or you're having an issue with your children, or with your parents, or with your family, have you tried seeking answers from the Quran itself to understand the aqwam, the straightest of paths and solutions? Before you say, this psychologist and this philosopher and this therapist have said this and that. Not that other people don't have useful things to say, but when you seek them, instead or before Allah Azza wa Jal, do you actually live a life that reflects your need for the Quran? Allah Azza wa Jal had likened guidance and knowledge that He had sent to water that drops and brings the earth back to life. And if you ask yourself, how much water do you need to drink each day? And how much food do you need to eat each day to stay alive? Is it an essential? And the answer is yes. In fact, the reason why I'm working my entire day is to provide the essentials, plus the luxuries, but essentials are essentials. So if food and water are essential for your body, and you know that to be true, and you spend so much time and effort seeking them and thinking about them, is not your soul, which is the most important part of your composition, in need of the Quran, the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, the water that is the rahmah and shifa? So I have a problem with my wife, with my husband. What type of manners do you have? How do you seek to solve this? Even if you're separating, what type of person who will be divorced, and how do you treat the one that you are going to be divorcing? How will you be for your kids? How are you with your neighbor? Did you seek these solutions or not? You look at the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you see the infighting that is happening. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ لَن تَضِلُّوا بَعْدَهُ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. He says, I've left behind what if you hold on to, you will not go astray, the book of Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold on to the rope of Allah Azza wa Jal and do not divide. And they said in the tafsir, the rope of Allah Azza wa Jal is the book of Allah. Did the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam submit to the Quran and study it and hold on to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal so they could be united? Did they do that so they could solve their economic and social problems? Or are they seeking these solutions in every other directions except the book of Allah Azza wa Jal? If somebody were to ask you, if you were to be on an abandoned island and if you were to take one book with you, what book would that be? And beyond an answer that is a cliche, of course it's going to be the Quran. Would the answer be, in fact, from your heart, that I cannot live without the Quran? Just like I cannot live without food. How could I spend a day and a night? How could I spend a week not hearing Allah Azza wa Jalla and what He has to say to me? Not hearing the healing power of the Quran, medicating my soul and medicating my heart. Because every moment the shaitan is trying to influence you and corrupt you and take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the influence that's going to counter all of this? Every single moment the world is inviting you to it. What is the thing that is going to counter that influence? If not an injection of the wisdom that you find in the Quran, if it's not hearing Allah Azza wa Jal, if it's not listening to the wisdom that is in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, what else will nourish us, and what else will bring us joy and happiness, true joy and happiness? So asking ourselves, do we actually need the Quran? And are we living as if we need the Quran? Or we have put it aside as a book to be reserved for ceremonies? When somebody dies, you bring somebody and they recite the Quran. When somebody gets married, you bring somebody and they recite the Quran. When there is a problem at home, you bring somebody and they recite the Quran. This is a ceremonial connection to the Quran. This is not how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to live with the Quran. When they asked Aisha, what was the manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She said, كان خلقه القرآن. His manners were the Quran. And that does not happen if you only listen to it when somebody dies or somebody gets married. And even these recitations at those moments are not entirely true or accurate. This happens only when you live with the Quran and the Quran lives in you and it starts to reshape you. Another obstacle, another lock is al-ghafla wal-inkibab ala dunya, heedlessness and being so worried only about the dunya. If you only are after money, the Quran is not going to interest you because the Quran directs you to what lies beyond money. If you're only interested in the matter, in the material, sexual pleasure, bodily pleasure, just having fun, that is a living. But that is the living of an animal. And even animals are better than that. Because though animals eat and drink, animals still know Allah Azza wa Jal. And animals still glorify Allah Azza wa Jal. Yet a human who lives only to eat and drink and work and sleep, and they repeat that, only to travel and buy, they only do this, they're living worse than an animal. And a person who's only interested in that will have no interest in the Quran. Because the Quran tells you that all these things will perish and they will go away. That the life that you have chosen for yourself is false. And there's a life better than all of that. So a person, especially if we have acquired a lot of sins, a person needs to travel away from those sins to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because every sin that we go into and we accept is a barrier between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَلَّا بَرَّانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. No, indeed, what they have done had surrounded their hearts, had engulfed their hearts. So we need to break that barrier. And you break that barrier by saying in the beginning, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, knowing that if the main influencer on our lives is the shaitan, you seek Allah's refuge from the shaitan. I don't want to follow his way and his wishes and his footsteps. There's a better way. And in the beginning, it will be a struggle. But if you say to yourself, I will struggle to attain the best and I will seek Allah's assistance to do this, then seek Allah's refuge from the shaitan. And start reading the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And start learning from it. And gradually, but surely, by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, the influence of the shaitan will diminish. And the love that you have for the dunya will diminish as the love of Allah replaces it. And as the love of the hereafter replaces it. After all, if somebody tells you, the dunya that you're killing yourself to get is going to leave you. But the thing that will never leave you is the pleasure of the hereafter. If you're ever a wise person, then you will say to yourself, I will seek the everlasting and leave behind what will leave me eventually. So whatever you have of the dunya right now that is tempting you and taking you away from Allah Azza wa Jal, rest assured it was not yours and will not stay with you. Whatever it is, if you say, my family is taking my time, you will lose your family one day. It has to be, because you will die or they will die. If you say my job, you will lose your job. If you say whatever, everything you will lose. And the only thing that stays with you and for you is Allah Azza wa Jal. So you either connect yourself to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal or suffer the consequence of being so far away from Him that you will throw yourself in turmoil and agitation because of that distance between you and Arham al-Rahimeen. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد. Another lock that stops us from understanding the Quran or from that tadabbur of the Quran is when we focus on the Quran as performance. Meaning a person comes to the Quran, to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, but they do it simply as performance. That they stop at, how can I pronounce the Quran the best? Tajweed. And if I should memorize the Quran, or I should just simply read the Quran, but they don't move beyond that phase. That's an act that is a performance. And Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimahullah, he said, إِنَّمَا أُنزِلَ الْقُرْآنَ لِيُعْمَلَ بِهِ فَاتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ تِلَاوَتَهُ عَمَلًا. He says, Quran was revealed so that people would follow it, act on it. So people turned recitation into the deeds that they should do. Meaning Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the Quran, so you would read it. And after you read it, what do you do with that reading? You would implement it. You would follow it. But he said people turned the reading of the Quran into the deeds that are related to the Quran. That's the only thing they do with it. And they don't go beyond it. And he also said, Rahimahullah, يَقُولُ أَحَدُهُمْ لَقَدْ أَقْرَأْتُ الْقُرْآنَ مَا أَسْقَطْتُ مِنْهُ حَرْفًا وَلَقَدْ أَسْقَطَهُ كُلَّهُ لَا يُرَى لَهُ أَثَرٌ فِي خُلُقِهِ وَلَا عَمَلِهِ. He says, one of them will say, I've read the entire Quran, I did not miss a letter. And he had missed all of it. You see no impact for the Quran on his life, deeds, and actions. So a person who simply reads the Quran or studies the Quran simply by reading tajweed or learning tajweed, and that is it, has not really pondered the Quran. Tajweed is a means to an end. If a person memorizes but does not follow or understand what he's saying, he did not ponder the Quran. Reading is a means, and there's barakah in it, but it should lead to something. Memorizing the Quran is a means, and there's barakah in it, but it should lead to something. And if it doesn't, and if you don't see an effect of what you have memorized and what you have read on how you're living, how you're solving your problems, on your heart, on your choices, then you haven't pondered the Quran. Because he's also said, Rahimahullah, and this is important, تدبر القرآن العمل به. Pondering the Quran is fulfilling its message. And also added to this, which is the focus of the reading of the Quran, is to simply focus of those of us who love the Quran on the melody of the Quran, on the singing of the Quran. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that said, أخوف ما أخاف عليكم, the things that I fear most for you. And he enumerated few things. Among them, he said, وَنَشْوًا يَتَّخِذُونَ الْقُرْآنَ مَزَامِيرٌ يُقَدِّمُونَ الرَّجُلَ لَيْسَ بِأَفْقَهِهِمْ وَلَا أَعْلَمِهِمْ مَا قَدَّمُوهُ إِلَّا لِيُغَنِّيَهُمْ. He says, and a young people who will take the Quran as singing, or for singing. They will push someone forward, meaning he will be their head, either as an imam or etc. They push him forward. He's not the most knowledgeable, and he's not the wisest. They only put forward because he can sing the Quran best. His voice of the Quran is beautiful. And again, if you listen to the Quran and if you enjoy the melody of a particular reciter, that's permissible. But if the only thing that you get from the Quran is the melody of the Quran, they're just simply listening to some sort of singing. So did Allah Azza wa Jal reveal the Quran simply for it to be sung? Yes. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in one hadith, زَيِّنُ الْقُرْآنَ بِأَصْوَاتِكُمْ. Beautify the Quran with your voices. فَإِنَّ الصَّوْتَ الْحَسَنِ يَزِيدُ الْقُرْآنَ حُسْنًا. The beautiful voice adds to the beauty of the Quran. But the beautiful voice is a means so that you understand the Quran better and it be absorbed better. Not that you should listen only to the beautiful voice and ignore the words and what they're saying. So listen to whatever reciter you would want to listen to, as long as their performance of the Quran is adequate. But at the same time, understand that Allah Azza wa Jal is talking to you. And what is it that Allah Azza wa Jal wants from you? So the scholars used to say, the Salaf used to see the Quran as messages from Allah Azza wa Jal. That they would take it and put it on their heart so it could medicate them. رَسَائِلُ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. So whenever you are reading and whenever you are opening the Quran, understand that Allah is sending a message to you. And if you approach the Quran this way, you will get something definitely out of it. And if you approach the Quran with a need, that is, I'm reading, but I'm not just simply going to focus only on how I'm pronouncing. It's good to know this and perfect it if you can. But don't stop at the level of I'm focusing on how I can pronounce, or focusing on how much I've memorized, or focusing on I have to reach the end of the surah to fulfill my daily portion of the reading of the Quran. But when you opened it, I have a question and I have a need. My wife, my husband, my children have a question and they have needs. My house, my community, and the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have questions and we have needs. Now open the book of Allah azza wa jal and see how Allah can medicate you and heal you and make you better. That is how you ponder the Quran, approaching it because our life depends on it. And imagine, subhanAllah, if a nation were to be sure that the Creator is speaking to them, what would they do with that message? If you understand that Allah Azza wa Jal, the only remaining message that He has on this earth is in the book that you have. Is it respectful? Is it meaningful as a Muslim to ignore the only message from Allah Azza wa Jal and seek guidance and betterment everywhere else except with what He had revealed? Can that be a testimony that we are Muslim? So we ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, Arhamar Rahimeen, that if there are locks on our hearts that are stopping us from reading the Quran and understanding it and following its message, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to unlock those locks. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to cleanse our hearts. We ask Him, Arhamar Rahimeen, to make us of those who are Ahlul Quran, the people of the Quran. Ya Allah, make us of Ahlul Quran. Ya Allah, make us of Ahlul Quran. Ya Allah, grant us the peace of reading the Quran and following it in the dunya, and make it an intercessor for us on the Day of Judgment, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, elevate us with the Quran. Ya Allah, make us of those who memorize the Quran, who read it every day. Make us of those who follow its message. Make it a companion for us in the dunya and in the akhirah. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to make us of the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, allow our manners to follow your book and follow the message of your prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to cleanse our heart from sin, from arrogance, from envy, from shirk and bid'ah and hypocrisy. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to heal our hearts and bring them closer to you. Ya Rabbal Alameen, fill our hearts with iman and taqwa. Fill our hearts with your love and love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and love over the believers. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulubi thabbit qulubana ala dinik. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulubi sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma nas'aluka al-jannata wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa amal. Wa na'udhu bika min an-nari wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa amal. ونسألك الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين وأقم الصلاة